Blog Talk Radio.
Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be. Oil wasted on the ocean and upon our sea, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy. Things ain't what they used to be. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are alive. Oh, mercy, mercy, me. All things ain't what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from man? Can't you stand?
Don't scare Negroes today with no badge or no white skin or no white sheet or no white anything else. The police the same way. They put their club upside your head and then turn around and accuse you of attacking them. Every case of police brutality against a Negro follows the same pattern. They attack you, bust you all upside your mouth, and then take you to court and charge you with assault. What kind of democracy is that? What kind of freedom is that? What kind of social or political system is it when a black man has no voice in court, has no nothing on his side other than what the white man chooses to give him? My brothers and sisters, we have to put a stop to this. And it will never be stopped until we stop it ourselves. They attack the victim, and then the criminal who attacked the victim accuses the victim of attacking him. This is American justice. This is American democracy. And those of you who are familiar with it know that in America, democracy is hypocrisy. Now, if I'm wrong, put me in jail. But if you can't prove that if democracy is not hypocrisy, then don't put your hands on me.
All right, welcome to Fan Party Radio Network, and this is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. and welcome all my listeners from overseas, Israel, Ireland, Brazil, Russia, South Africa, India, also Canada, and the United States. And my Activate Media family who gets this broadcast on Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. Thank you all in Boston, Mass. For listening, and thank you for bringing me on board once again with ActivateMedia.org. I wanted to play that clip to start this show off because I find that clip just every time I listen to it, it is a clip that always holds so much relevance to today. And towards the end of that clip, when Malcolm says America's democracy is nothing but hypocrisy, that is so powerful and even relevant to this day. Before I go in, anyone that may be listening online that would like to call in, be a part of the show, call in number is 914-205-5538. Again, 914-205-5538. And just kind of really is a setup for what I want to speak on tonight. I did a show about maybe 3 weeks ago now. Kind of talked about the Kyrie Irving, Kanye West situation. Then my brother Kevin really had a good show on about 2 or 3 Thursdays ago, and he called it Bug Breaking 2022. And he also talked about the Kyrie Irving situation, but its resemblance to the buck breaking. And, you know, we all know what the buck breaking tactic was back then in white America, when they would take the biggest, strongest black man and break him down to his bare essentials and then take his manhood. So this was done to humiliate the black man and degrade him to less than a man and not even a man after that particular fact. Just this really is been kind of bothering me, and I just wanted to talk about tonight accountability and why not all people own their wrongdoings, but they hold others to a higher standard of accountability. And that word in itself, just accountability, the ability to account for your actions, for your words, you know, and why are some of us, And we all know the answer and the reasoning, but why are some of us ostracized by our words, by our actions, and sometimes not even our own words, sometimes just in sharing someone else's words, but those words being truthful have so much more to do with why we're, you know, beat down in public for sharing of information, like what Kyrie Irving done, you know, while others are allowed the privilege of freedom of speech, because I've saw so many comedians, Jewish and white, of course, who have, you know, mocked the Kyrie Irving situation. And not only that, I'm going to keep it a buck, because some of our own have come out of the woodworks to try to beat Kyrie over the head for, and this is what really pisses me off about the whole thing, is he didn't say or do anything. He simply shared information that was on another platform. But then, like I say, you have these Joe Blow Coon Negroes, Shaq, Charles Barkley, LeBron James, few others, Stephen A, Jalen Rose, that, you know, came out in the beginning. Now, some of them now have tried to walk back their comments and try to kind of soften the blow now that they see more of Black America is pulling and working for Kyrie, as opposed to they coon and house Negro asses trying to pull the whip out and whoop them they self. And we the only race of people that do that for the masses to see, because it is, to me, it's ignorant to, I mean, basically what you're doing is you're serving your brother on a platter. You're giving white America what it wants, you know, the ability to keep being able to point their finger and say, see, I told you so. See, I told you they couldn't do this. I told you they couldn't do that. See, I told you they felt this way. Well, honestly, I'm just going to say this. I am unapologetically Black, because I don't have any apologies or any forgiveness for those who have never even atoned for their actions. And my whole thing with this accountability talk tonight is the audacity of this society, media, and all that gets involved to stir the pot and make somebody the bad guy when the real bad guy is getting away with the money. You know, they find a villain and make something so small, because to me, the truth is just that, the truth. And I've listened to several things that Kyrie Irving had to say. Matter of fact, my brother Kevin had sent me a video that I did get to sit down and listen to after he'd done his show, and actually talked to him about it the day after. But I have saw nothing that he owes an apology or an explanation about. He hadn't done any more than America has done to us over 400 plus years now. And the thing, the hypocrisy of it all is America has been more anti-Semitic in actions and in words over a 400-year period, but wants to hold everybody else accountable for what it says and what it does. And this is why I always say America is no moral compass for anybody. And like my sister Kia always says, America is about greed and violence, money and violence. That's it. And just look at the things that America continues to do. I covered a story that happened a few weeks back, the beginning of October. Then, unfortunately, about 2.5 weeks after that, covered another story, both involving young black men being gunned down by these trigger-happy punk police that nobody holds accountable for their actions. These cops are out here killing us, literally, but nobody's holding them accountable. And they continue to be able to use this qualified immunity to get away with these murders and these crimes that they commit. And finally, if they can finish picking a jury, just a quick update, the punk cop that killed Tatiana Jefferson trial is set to start Monday if they can finish picking the jury tomorrow. And they've been trying to do everything in their power to get this coward-ass killer cop moved to a new venue. They've been pushing it back for so many weeks now, just coming up with every little small thing that they could find to prolong this. And see, these are the kind of things that leads me to say, let me go on and say it now and get it out of the way so y'all can marinate on it. These are the things that lead me to say we need each other. And we ain't never needed nobody else but one another. And right now, we really need one another. And in the coming weeks, we're really going to start to need one another. We need each other now, but oh, in the weeks to come, just keep paying attention, keep saying good morning, and you're going to see exactly what I'm talking about, because things are not going to get any better. We can start to create things that would be better for us, and not only that, put us in a better condition where we can start being more accountable for ourselves and accountable for our actions. And we don't have to worry about the outside, the external things that happen, because they'll become irrelevant the more we start to focus on us. But I kind of digress. But yeah, they're going to start to this trial on Monday. But this is what I'm talking about. These coward cops are never held accountable for their actions. But let somebody say something about some fake Jews, and I'll say it. Let somebody say something about these fake Jews, and America comes to a standstill to point a finger of blame, and America has no room to point a finger of blame at anyone. America has no room to point, I mean, the saying is you point one finger at somebody else, it's 3 point, well, in the case of America, it's 18 pointing back at them, because America has done some jacked up things. And never has, well, it has atoned and made amends with some of the people that it caused hardship. But America has never even considered taking accountability for the hardship that it caused us and our ancestors. They have never owned that, never apologized for it. And when I say apologize, I'm not talking about no literal apology, because that's just not good enough. It has never made us whole again, but done everything in its power to keep us separate, keep us broke down, keep us feeling hopeless, you know, but we're still here. And this is something that I really try to get us to understand is our resilience, our ability to still be here through all that this system has tried to do to get rid of us speaks volumes. That in itself should be something that empowers you every day as a melanated woman or man. And we have got to start taking stock in our own selves. Like I say, we've got to start being accountable for ourselves. It's really getting to a point where we can't continue to wait for a system that was never built to include us to be accountable for the things that it does to us. And the things that it does to us, they don't feel any guilt, compassion, empathy, any of that. Because when they wrote the Constitution, we were not included. When their forefathers wrote the Constitution, we were three-fifths of a man and intended to be property for the endurance of this experiment called America. And yet and still, it wants to pacify Kyrie Irving for simply sharing information while it allows the system that it built to continuously thrive, never taking accountability for the suffering that it caused us. And why is it that we're always ostracized by our words, our actions, and we walk on pins and needles? You can't even get nobody black to say the word Jew now without looking over their shoulder or, you know, putting their hand over that. Oops, I didn't mean to say, you know, that's really also bothersome to me that we're so careful not to hurt others, but we're quick to hurt each other. And I'm not going to get on that because we all know the problem exists. But why is it that America, and we're still seeing it, because Kanye, another one of us, even though I don't agree with a lot of the antics that he does, but I can say that his exposing of this system is not like we didn't know it, but it is refreshing to know that there's at least one who's willing, well, two who are willing to be truthful about the matter. And at this particular point in history and time, we should all know that right now the Jewish people are not the true Jews. And we can stop tiptoeing around what's the truth and start claiming what and who we are and being proud of that, as opposed to feeling inferior and being full of power. And that's what we've allowed this system to do. We are full of power, but we've allowed this system to render us powerless. All right. I see you, brother. And that's really what I want to touch on this particular episode, and I don't know, just maybe we can start coming together and empowering excuse me, one another the way we should, because we shouldn't be scared to voice our opinions, and especially when you are on the right side of history and you're trying to do the right thing. All right, brother, got your mic open.
Peace, brother. I'm kind of I'm 99% with you. The only 1% I'm not is the Kanye thing. perfect reason that I'm going to say it is because of what the show is about, which is accountability.
Mm-hmm.
When Kanye started his diatribe about Jews, it wasn't done to help us at all. Him going to Trump's house with this racist and not really getting what he thought he was going to get out of that, I felt that was perfect. That's the one time I would have to say that, you know, I don't like Donald Trump. I felt him a little bit on why he flipped out on Kanye for even having to there and ask him the silliness of running as his vice president. The response to that is basically tell Kim she's a bitch, which is Kanye's baby's mama. So I don't know if they're still friendly or not, but my problem with his coming with it, it wasn't done to enlighten us at all. And I don't want to give him credit for that, because that would not be making him accountable for some of the horrific things he has said about us, which led to a lot of those companies that are, you know, do have some Jewish control, if not full, giving him contracts that put his worth at almost $11.5 billion. I feel like they rewarded him for his views and the fact that he was willing to spit those views. And I'm one of those that don't believe you can sit on that fence and have a leg in our community and a leg in another community, and it's obvious that you're trying very hard to please that other community, and you don't really give a damn about ours anymore. When you first started your career, it was black people who West. So I'm bothered with his being kind of put into this conversation as if he's a player, when really he isn't. When Kyrie Irving shared that link after he saw the video, he did so with the full intent of black people and people of color and even white people seeing this, so that this way they would be able to add to whatever perspective they had. They're either going to accept or reject the message. But he just shared the link so that they could see it. This country had a president that played Birth of a Nation in the White House, said it was one of the best movies, would be around for years, dot, 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 dot. And the country didn't even blink when this happened. However, Kyrie shares a link to something that enlightened him. And the next thing, you had a mixed bag, but very few coming out and supported him from the beginning. I knew about some of those who called him names. They, you know, basically wanted to flog him for, you know, having an opinion. And I don't agree with everything Kyrie has said. He said some things that I thought maybe he needed medication as well. But when I saw that video that I shared with you, I saw a different side of this guy. And I didn't see anything that he did that required an apology or for him to feel bad or to be suspended or to be flogged publicly and then forced basically into apologizing in order for him to take care of the people who are under his brand who actually have to still eat. And whether they agree with him or not, if you work for him, then you're going to need to get paid. So I understood partially why he did it. I still didn't agree with it, but I get it. On the accountability thing, what they've kind of done to us is make us almost reverse accountable. If one of us says something that they do not like, rather than move on with their day, they want to stop the presses right then. And they want all of the people that look like that person to get mad with them. It's kind of a platoon thinking where we'll look like we're upset, but we're going to let your own people beat you down. And it seems to be more and more prevalent. Case in point, I saw a post where a South African woman, a white woman, asked a question about black men berating black women in order to impress or flirt with in some way white women. Now, she tried to soften this by putting it in putting it in the context that she is African. But her being South African and white means she's not African, but Afrikaner. And that was really the Dutch. And I really wondered where her indignation was back when apartheid was going, because she looks like she was around then. And what bothered me more than her, even sticking that question out there, was two black women that saw my comment started a damn near day-long deluge of hitting me in the head as if I was in some sort of denial about being abusive towards black women, when all I stated was I don't do it and the guys I function with don't do it and the women I function with would not tolerate it. So these two women during this thing decided to let me know that they don't date black men. Which really bothered me, because now you don't even have a dog in the race. You don't even shop in this store. So why would you be around black men if you don't date black men? And what black men are berating you and other women at the same time? And I started thinking, when you said about the accountability, I was like, this is where the problem is. We don't stop those outside of us from creating the friction. We don't hold them accountable. Right. Because that's just the same as allowing them to define who we are. And when you take a confused person, if you want to see what I'm talking about, spin a person around, tell them just spin in a circle for about a minute, and then tell them to stand still. They can't do it because their brain is spinning at that time. Everything's still moving to them. So if they're confused and they're dizzy, then they'll basically buy in. Out of at that moment, they just want the dizziness to stop. And that's what I like in what's happening with Kyrie, is they basically made him stand there and spin until he agreed with them, and even made the statement, you have to admit when you're wrong. And I feel like that's a reverse accountability, because in my opinion, he wasn't wrong. I just looked up what most of the Jews really are, and none of them are from the Middle East.
No.
None of them. They are from Europe. Spain, France, places like that. So to have them in Palestine controlling that area is nothing more than an invasion. The word anti-Semitic, the original Semites were black.
Right.
So how can you be anti-Semitic when we are Semitic? We are the Semitic people.
Exactly.
And it doesn't matter what religion you call yourself. If you're black, you're a Semite.
Yep.
Okay. So I think the first part of that accountability starts with people taking a minute to stop listening to the bullshit and start looking for the truth themselves. And that's all Kyrie was guilty of, was putting something there where they can kind of get back on the road to learning who they are. The fear of doing that is what makes them come out and talk shit, because that paycheck that they're getting from their Jewish handlers, they don't want it to stop. And
that's
they purposefully crunched on Kanye just to remind everybody of how powerful they truly are. Are you?
Yeah, I agree. And then, too, you know, just talking about accountability, you know, and who we're dealing with and this system that we're unfortunately, you know, wrapped up in. And I just feel like at this juncture, yeah, we should know by now that a lot of the things that we expect people, humans, to do are just not going to be done by the people who run this system and those who really agree with this system, because it works for them wholeheartedly. When you think about accountability, at least when I do, and I was really on this earlier and just thinking about it, you know, accountability. And then I was like, the ability to account, you know, and then I thought about, I sat there and I thought about some of the things that I have done in the past. You know, some things I got away with, some things I didn't get away with, you know, and I think it's just, it's first of all, a human instinct to not want to get caught. But also, in most humans, it is a human instinct that when caught, you own it, you know. And for some of us, we are made to own it, you know, just like in this Kyrie situation. And I agree with you, because I'm not really one to feel sorry or really empathize with athletes and entertainers, because most of those people have already sold their soul and sacrificed one of their own, so you know that they don't really give a damn about no one but themselves and the fame and the money and all of that that comes with that, you know. And that's why I try not to get caught up in the celebrityism, because, you know, they don't live the same lives that we live, and they're really not subject to the things that we're subject to unless they get out of line. You know, I don't really call what Kyrie done out of line, but, you know, that is just part of the system and how it works, because even on your jobs, you know, you have a pecking order, you know, your boss, your, you know, leaders, your line leaders, and then you got your supervisors, and, you know, there's just a pecking order, but everybody is not, even in those positions, are not accountable for themselves. And I think that's where it starts, too, you know. Some people, because in this country, money is power, position is power, what you have is power, materialism is power, you know, the things that you possess and can possess. And that's where I separate myself from the entertainers and athletes, because some of them, although being famous, don't have true integrity. And to me, a person's, it's more about their character and actions and being right on the right side, you know. And like I say, like in the situation with Kanye, yeah, for years he's danced with the devil, and now he's paying that price because he said or done something and got out of line, per se. So now, you know, this system, like it always has done and will continue to do as long as we allow it, you know, will whoop us back into our place. And that's what happens.
The system plays on our vulnerabilities in spite of our capabilities, and they still never are fully responsible for what they do. My daughter had asked me years ago, what did the word Harlem, where did it come from? And I had to let her know, that's not our word. Harlem is a Jewish word, because that's where they were living before they started renting it to black people. Black people really didn't own a lot in Harlem, but they resided there because that's where the city had set them, because New York is a very segregated city. If you've ever been there and you walked 18 blocks in any direction, you went through several different types of neighborhoods. The word ghetto is a Jewish word. It's not our word. So when people say you're acting ghetto, it's almost like saying you're acting Jewish. These are not our words. You know, so I'm like, and I thought about what you said about the abilities. Yeah. But the accountability is going to always be the one that they avoid, because if they take accountability, then they would have to share the wealth. And they're definitely not going to do that, because then they feel it would make them vulnerable and it would make us stronger. And the last thing that they can afford to do is let us be stronger, because then they assume that they're weaker. And that's not always true. We can have strong, everybody can have some strength. Then it just comes down to who is stronger. And they've made sure that they put themselves in a position they're not going to ever be held accountable, just like the Europeans won't for their part in things. None of the races, Jewish, otherwise, the Africans, even in Africa, who helped to capture blacks and send them here, none of them have ever been held accountable. And yet we're put in a position to have to be careful what we say, what we do, where we walk, how we do these things. You know, we're taught to accept terrible treatment as just the cost of doing business, and there's definitely no accountability there. We see how quickly, you know, like you said, there's a lot of departments that have dropped the law that states the qualified immunity. A lot of them have dropped it, but it won't matter, because there's not enough people in those communities that are going to send that cop to jail for doing something to a person of color or a woman or anything like that. They're going to still get off. You know, so we're still stuck between a rock and a hard place. I'm bothered that they constantly want us to see the public flogging so that we stay humble. Between the religion and all that other stuff, it's just about keeping us humble in the face of adversity. And that means that even then we're guilty, because we're accepting that behavior, and then it makes me ask, where's our accountability at?
Yeah. Good point. Because yeah, at some point in time, yeah, you have to make a firm stance, and like you said earlier, you have to hold people accountable, for things. You know, much like when you're young, you know, when you're growing up, you know, in most of our cases, a single family home mother usually is the head of household, but nonetheless, the point being, growing up, I know I had accountability for things. There were things that I was responsible for, making my grades, you know, doing my chores and things like that, you know. So at a young age, and then too being raised by most of us having our grandparents there, and then they were raised in that time where, you know, as a black man or black woman, you either get down or you would get laid down. So they instill some of that same behavior, and I guess I don't like to use the word fear, but into us, you know, and which too, like I say, always kept us in the mindset of being accountable for what we do, and let it be the right thing. Because in our cases, if it wasn't the right thing, it could mean life or death, you know, in most situations, especially, you know, back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, just looking at a white man or a white woman could get you lynched, you know, let alone saying anything. So we always had to be respectful of how we moved, act, how we looked, how we spoke, you know, so because we were always under the microscope, per se, and always assumed to be, you know, the criminal element, the savage, the rapist, the murderer, the animal, the beast, and all the other, you know, negative connotations that were attached to being who we are. And never really having the truth of who we are told, you know. And then now, even today, you know, so there's so many things, like I say all the time, we could do that are effortless, that could change our situation, but we don't even entertain that, you know. Sometimes I think we're too worried about satisfying others as opposed to satisfying ourselves, you know, a lot of times.
I think it's fear. I think the majority of people are really afraid to actually, if they stand up and talk too loud, then it puts them in a position to have to, what do you do after that? What's next? You know, and I think a bunch of them are fearful of actually taking that step. Like I said, plantations did not have fences. They didn't need them. They had their mind, and that's what mattered. And that fear is what kept them from just walking the hell off. And then if they do leave, where are they going? They already know what happens if they stay in the situation. But they're fearful of what happens if they try to leave. They get caught. They come back. They have to go through some punishments that they don't, you know, in their mind is worse than it may actually be.
Right.
However, they're still going to fear is going to have them to where they won't move. They'll be stuck in the mud, and they'll be fine with that. And whatever, it, you know, to them, it's It's almost like those that Harriet Tubman tried to free and those they wanted to go back because they were afraid of what might be ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what was behind them, knowing what would happen when they got back, but they were afraid to go ahead. And she did the best thing by putting them out of their misery right where they Because if they were going to go back, then they become a liability. They're going to tell, you know, at some point, the fact that they would choose slavery over freedom, especially when you're already off the plantation, says a lot about the damage that was inflicted on their psyche. I mean, whooping them, that can heal. They still went to work, but healing their brain was never done, and that's never been a big deal for the American way of life. It was meant to keep us, you know, tripping. If you live in the South, there's no way you haven't seen a monument to wars that were designed to keep you in bondage. Statues of people who did everything they could to keep you in bondage. And they don't mind making them look just as majestic as they can on horses with guns out and all of this other shit. And, you know, and when people take their kids to the park and they see that shit, yeah, they'll go play. I remember going to a park that was in Charlotte, Freedom Park. That was the name of the park. And they had trains. They had all of these other little things, but they also had their little markers to the Confederacy. And all of those were done to keep us off balance, and that's where we still are. We're really off balance. So what I would like to see us is try to be more accountable on why we allow this to continue as a, you know, instead of actually, I mean, you can only die once, you know. And if you're living under their system, then you're probably already dead in your mind anyway. You just work into die one day, and there's no real legacy, and you're going to have your kids in church, you know, praising their God and, you know, praising their heroes and singing their little tunes and everything else. And you know, just be okay to be in the shit and not really try to get out of it. And it's sad, but I think it's more fear than anything. And where it isn't fear, it's just straight out apathy. You know, for Shaq to call Kyrie an idiot.
Right.
And, you know, and I'm looking at, you know, I'm thinking, you got a lot of nerve to say something like that. I mean, I had an issue with him when he was pushing on how he wanted to be a damn police officer. And I'm like, it doesn't seem like he would be being a police officer to change the way they police. It seems more like you like the way they police and you just wanted to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know how detrimental it is to us. I've never heard him say anything about some of the things that happen to black youth or to those that get accosted by police. I've never heard him, with his voice, never heard him say a word to defend any of that. But yet, you want to call a fellow NBA star an idiot for expressing his opinion, you know? I don't know. I just feel like we got it all fucked up, and that's definitely not being accountable on our end at all. So.
Yeah, that, and then to have Kareem chime in on it as well kind of surprised me, being that he,
yeah,
you know, kind of back in the 60s, that was one of the things that several black athletes stood on, you know, the pro-blackness, and he was one of them.
Right.
And so I think that, you know, a lot of times, and I've said this more than one occasion, and I'm one of the, you know, brothers headed towards elderhood. I'm not going backwards. So I still say, even with myself, you know, I often ask myself, what is it that we need to say to these young men and young women to get them back on track, you know, because it's definitely going to take several of us, you know, working together. And then, too, I say we've got to give them something to look forward to, as opposed to just waking up, living another day. You know, we kind of got to show them how to be self-inspirational, you know, and be inspiring to one another as well, and think about the things that we can do as opposed to the things that we haven't done, because I don't think there's anything that we can't not do. I think there's just a lot of things that we haven't done at this particular point in time. And I think, too, I don't like to say it, but yeah, I do think fear plays a big role in it, because, you know, like you said, though, you can only die once. And I've really just made up my mind anyway that I'm going to die for something, as opposed to just going along to get along and just to be able to fit in with the status quo, you know, because ain't nothing really about this place good. And I don't really think there's ever been anything about this place that's been good, you know. And then, like I said earlier, you know, we're waiting on people to be accountable for things that they've done, and they've already let us know in so many words, you know, that's never going to happen. So I'm like you. I think it really should be in our mindset to really just kind of move past that and really focus on what we can change for ourselves. And I'm not saying that we don't deserve their accountability, but the sooner that we start working together and sticking together and organizing together and moving in the same direction, some things we won't have to demand. Some things will happen just because of the fact that we're now unified and they see a side of us that they really never saw, and most of all, too, probably never would expect, because they have an expectance that we will never unify and do what we need to do. So far, they've been right, but I just really can't believe that it's over, you know, and we're not going to even fight. But right now we're not, you know, and this system knows that collectively we're not going to unite and fight. We'll come together and protest in a few cities for a few days and then go on back to our normal lives. And what we haven't realized is the fact that if we just stayed together, how we could really stop a lot of these senseless killings, because they would then respect the fact that, oh, the black people are now united, and we can't continue to, you know, the only thing that's going to make them stop is to, I guess, reverse the fear. Honestly,
we need to create a consequence for the action. I mean, take it down to a kid who is taking the cookies out of the cookie jar. And there's multiple children in the house. So the mother doesn't know exactly who's taking the cookies. So don't take the cookies without asking. If you do, then you won't be allowed to have any cookies. And whoever the thief is going to assume that the other kids are still stealing cookies, so they're going to keep taking cookies. And then they have to deal with the consequence of that. The problem is there's no consequences for any of their actions, adverse actions against us. And with consequences, people don't change their behavior. You know, the reason people don't drive 200 miles an hour if they could is because there's a consequence. The reason they don't run up in a store and smack the shit out of the clerk that, you know, was disrespectful to them is because there's a consequence. You know, and so we if there's no consequence, I don't see a change. And as long as there's no consequence, then this other side has no fear of retaliation when they do what they do. You know, and the way they got the system set up, if a cop shoots you, they get 24 hours to make their statement. If I shoot you, I'm in jail the moment they catch me. Doesn't seem fair in my book. You know, it's not fair at all, you know, especially when some of those cops have not had a psych eval that made sense in a long time. You know, so, you know, yeah, I do have to me, a quick consequence is make every cop have to carry, a liability against wrongful death insurance for the term that they're an officer. That will keep their guns in their holsters a lot quicker than, you know, what's been happening, which is what? Put on administrative duty, still able to feed your family. If I go out and do the same thing, they immediately dead me on being able to get to work. I'm locked up. I got to spend a ton of money and put my house and all that other stuff up just to get out. And then the media is going to play their part and let everybody know what I'm charged with. Not convicted of, charged with. And I know this for what happened with me when I was not convicted of something, but I was charged with it, and it made newspapers up and down the Eastern Seaboard. And I was not convicted of that. They didn't put in that, yeah, we charged him with 14 counts, but, you know, we only were able to, you know, he actually was found not guilty of all of those. And everything was dropped to a violation, and he paid his $500 fine, and that was that. They don't come out and give you your redemption. They leave you looking, you know, bad. Mm-hmm. And what does that do? The people that read the paper are going to be like, you know, you never know who saw that.
Yeah.
The place looking for a job, you don't know if they read that. You know, you ace the interview, you dress nice, all that, but yet they never call you. You're qualified, more so than anybody else there, but they never call you. You know, so if there is no consequence to some of this damage, I don't see them doing anything to change it. I feel like they like what they're doing, and they kind of feel like we're okay with it because, you know, we pick our moments to stand up. Why don't we stand up each and every time and get in their ass about it? Recreate our own media because we don't have one for us anymore. We had hip hop till they fucked that up. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't right now. We need Public Enemy more than ever. They're not here. They're collecting royalties from trying to tell us back in the day. You know. And with their own infighting, bad example of everything. You know, I thought the worst thing that Flavor Flav did was ever sign a contract with VH1 to do those coon shows that he was doing back in the day.
Yeah.
You know? And there's a consequence to that. Because then when you point to Public Enemy as someone people should go back and listen to, they'd be like, well, no, I don't listen to Public Enemy, but I love Flavor Flav and the Flavor of Love and all that, this real life and all that other shit. And I'm thinking, you know, there was a reason why Chuck D called Flavor Flav the Joker.
Hmm.
There was a reason why. Because, you know, that's what he played himself as, a hype man, to get to get people to pay attention, you know.
Yeah.
But he did everything later on to totally kill that message. White America loved it. VH1 loved the ratings. Black people watched it, but didn't know really what to think of it, you know, and none of us ever bought that 20 women would fight each other for him. But that spun off like 5 shows.
Yep, it did.
Mm-hmm. So how do we get that message out to folks, you know, that this is what's happening to us, and then we turn around and we shoot at the message or allow others to shoot at it, and, you know, I mean, that's why the youngsters aren't listening to us now, because, you know, to them it was obvious that we were more, already too set in our ways, if you will, to try to school them on anything. We didn't change, but the world is changing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's, I don't know, so many things that have been done, not been done, need to be done, you know, the list goes on and on and on. I agree, though, yeah, consequences is definitely one of the reasons why, you know, there hasn't been accountability across the board. With these cops, they see it every day and they know, hey, yeah, we can go out and shoot us one of these little young black boys or these young Hispanics or one of these young poor white kids and get away with it if we come up with the right story, you know. And it's sad that we live in a place where you have a profession and other people become complicit in your crime and there are overall no consequences. And that leads me to one thing that I always say. We need to start practicing self-defense and self-reliance and kind of get back to the old school as far as policing ourselves and to policing our youth, because we can at least do it out of love as opposed to one of these race soldiers getting a hold of them and ending their life. You know,
mm-hmm.
I admit, though, yeah, it is. For the most part, collectively, it's hard trying to relate to these youth because society has them so dumbed down. A lot of things that persist and happen in reality, they don't take seriously. For the most part, they don't take life seriously, you know, and that in itself is troubling, you know. And then too, mm-hmm. when you look at what they see on the media or social media platforms, and YouTube, and then these news platforms, I mean, it's all disparaging, you know. Ain't nothing good happening. And how can you expect something good to come out of a generation that experienced nothing but the worst of the worst, seems like, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think we need to also look at our accountability too, though, because, you know, in our own way, we didn't all wake up at the same time and you know, see everything the same way. It all took us some time to actually figure out what was happening and then what we wanted to do about it. And that's what creates the activist right there. Our problem is we didn't really, when we did know, we didn't really know how to create more activists. That was my goal, was to create more active people out there. I didn't care what their background was. I didn't care about any of that. I cared more that they wanted to do something to help change the situation. And that seems to be the biggest challenge even now, is to try to make that happen. I don't know. I feel like we're missing something, and I can't figure out why we can't put our finger on that pulse and get people, you know, if I put out a new pair of shoes or I get somebody to, you know, put out a hit song or, you know, a movie or something, all of these people flock. They flock to it. And you say, hey, let's fight so we can have some justice. And, you know, it's almost like 2 a.m. at the club. Everybody's leaving faster and faster, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That in itself, and that makes me think, too, how we can get, you know, we don't get excited about the shit we could do in real life, in real time. But we'll let somebody make a movie and we will buy into that movie like it's real life. And I had to tell some people the other day, Wakanda is not real. Wakanda is a made up place. But what's crazy to me is we all love everything about Wakanda, the unity, how they fight for one another, how they defend what's theirs, but we don't think about trying to do that shit in real life.
Yeah, you know, that's true. I'm looking at the movie that Will Smith is in, Emancipation, and I watched his interview on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, and just because I needed to hear what he was going to say about what happened at the Oscars, but I also wanted to know what the movie was about. And I like the statement that he made about it. For those that don't know, you've seen a meme on Facebook with the black man with his back to the camera with all of the whip marks on his back. That is what the movie Emancipation is built around, his story. Will Smith made some comments about that movie, such as his daughter has said, you know, Dad, do we really need another slave movie? And he answered her with the best answer that I had ever heard on that. He said, this is not a slave movie. It's a freedom movie. The movie takes place after the Emancipation Proclamation, and it's during the time that it took for them to get to everybody to tell them, you know, that they were free. And it's this man's story. So I suggest to people that they watch it. Doesn't matter if you're a Will Smith fan or if you think he was foul for what he did to Chris Rock. Let all of that go. I think that's the movie we should put at the top of the box office rather than Wakanda Forever, because Wakanda doesn't exist. Because if it did, I think we'd all already be there by now. And Atlanta don't count. You feel me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the movie I want to see up there. Plus, I love the fact that that they're talking about that, because I was always curious about that guy's story. When you look at his back, to see the whip marks to the level that they are on it, and to know that this was commonplace on men and women and children back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why when I look at what his back looks like, it really makes me wonder what his brain looks like. You know, what did that all take from him, you know, as he's going through this atrocity? And I'm thinking that's what we're kind of just, you know, now we flog each other and ourselves, and they've given us all the things to do it, and we do it with more than whips.
Mm-hmm.
We do it with everything that they give us to do it with. And the thing is that we don't seem to mind. We don't seem to mind as a collective, and that is disheartening. And it shows that we're not truly being accountable for what we're allowing the next generation to still have to continue to fight and deal with. It's not getting better. And the kids, the youngsters are seeing that. But they're not willing to listen to us because they're treating us like we treated our parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not listening. Even if they are trying to tell us, we ain't listening. So when we talk, they ain't listening. Karma always makes its rounds.
Yeah.
We're going to have to change the whole way we're doing business with each other in order for anything to happen. And I personally... I'm doubtful if it'll happen. I gotta, you know, do what I gotta do, and I still want to try. And I mean, I feel dejected some days because when I look around, I don't see much different. I still see the same pain, and the same slavery and the same system punishing wrongfully a lot of us. And you know, I mean, the numbers alone say a lot. You know. A lot of black people fought for this country only to get shitted on by it. A lot of black people are locked up in this country, yet we're only supposedly 13 to 14% of the population. You know, and somehow out of all of that, black man is still the most pariahed person in this country. Second, black woman. You know, pariah in this country. Black women have to deal with this constant trying to figure out their beauty. You don't have to figure out your beauty. You're beautiful anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to look like them. You don't need their hair. You don't need their makeup. You don't need none of that shit. They need it.
Right.
But, you know, you go in any of them places and they over there buying that shit and... You know, and then they go out and, you know, and I'm like, damn, you know, I'm like, wow, you know, when we went to dinner, you looked one way. Now that we're back home, you look like a, who did I eat with?
Right. Yeah, we
you know, I look
put,
at
go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say that the skinny jean thing, that proved to me that there were a lot of fathers who didn't get bothered when they saw their sons wearing these damn leotards and, you know, looking very feminine in them at that. Now, what bothers me is a lot of women found that attractive. They found that attractive, and so that was why those jeans sold like they did. But, you know, and these young men didn't care. They just felt like, hey, you know, if I can rock them, you know, whatever, okay, whatever. But, you know, at the same time, if somebody said, hey, you look like a fag, they would have got upset.
Right.
They'd have been, you know, upset. Oh, you're labeling me. No, my brother, you're labeling you. I'm just trying to call you on it. Some real fan song.
Yeah, and then it's, you know, too, it's those are the small things that really make all the difference, just having some self-respect really practicing good morals and values and having a sense of integrity, you know, and those are things that are no longer taught. You know, everybody is taught nowadays to, you know, be number one, be the first, and don't worry about nobody else but you. And, you know, we're sending the wrong messages. You don't need nobody but you. You know, those kind of messages cause the self-righteous shit that we see, you know. And honestly, we as a race collectively, we can't afford to keep having our children second guess themselves. And we as the adults have got to stop second guessing ourselves as well. And, you know, really, like I was saying earlier, just really all else to the side and focus on healing, focus on teaching, focus on giving the truth. I think that we could really pull a lot of our youth away from the bullshit and the games just by simply giving them the truth of what has happened, what is happening, and their plans on what is to be happening. You know, we have really got to give our youth that tool of intellect and knowledge in order for them to be able to fight, because it's not just going to be a physical fight. If that were the case, we win, you know. But we've got to give them more than just the physical prowess. We've got to give them the intellectual prowess and the spiritual prowess as well, and how to keep all that in balance. And not only that, teach them, and this is huge, but teach them to respect the women, teach them to protect the women, and be real leaders. And when I say be a real leader, I ain't talking about the leader in the way that you've got 50 or 60 or 70 people following you, because just because you got people following you doesn't make you a leader at all. What makes people leaders is their actions and their concern for others. And that's what we don't have any empathy for one another, compassion for one another, you know. Just those little simple things could make a mountain of difference and could really change the outcome of so many situations that we saw go the wrong way, you know, because it's going to happen, and we have to be in constant preparation for a power that we're going to have, you know, and we really got to prepare ourselves for that, and not drop the ball. We can't afford to drop the ball anymore. We've dropped the ball so many times, and then we've had the ball dropped on us so many times.
Yeah. Yeah, we do seem to practice this mental masturbation that while we're getting fucked, which makes no sense to me, so.
Yeah,
I'm in a weird place with it. I really want, you know, I don't know what it's gonna take, but I know this can't continue at the rate that it's going and the way it's going. You know, I really have a strong respect. I'm sorry. I'm kind of in a weird place about it only because the respect I have for those that were willing to stand up is huge, you know? It's huge. I mean, it took a lot. They sacrificed their time, their lives, their families' lives. Just to try to make it a little bit better. And a bunch of people want to sit around and say, yeah, they were cool. But then at the same time, even when they see that they could do something, they sit still. They don't do anything. And, you know, and I look at, you know, myself, you and others who, you know, are trying. And it just seems like, you know, we're stirring air, you know. We're not making, you know, nothing's really happening there. And, you know, even though I'm proud of what has been done, it's nowhere near enough to make the changes that we want to see. And I don't feel like it's a failure or anything. I just feel like, you know, it's almost like what they say, beating a dead horse, you know. And I'm just, you know, I don't know. I'm very... I'm just in a weird place about the whole fight because, I mean, it's kind of like when you had that friend who can't fight that well and you fight for him as much as you can, only to find out that, you know, because you've been fighting for them, they've decided not to ever put their hands up and fight for themselves. And this way, whatever goes right, then they want to be at the finish line with you, and when it goes wrong, then they want to chomp on you. And they'll stand there with everybody else and look at you, shaking their head and sticking their teeth. Mm. And I'm just at a weird place with that, you know, that whole dynamic. But that is exactly what the system wanted when they started the allowance of integration. It became, you know, we'll move into your neighborhood rather than build our own. And that thinking is what's keeping us from doing anything tangible. We're still trying to do that. We shop with them all day. We have to convince each other to shop with us at all. Walmart shouldn't be the biggest company because we shouldn't be shopping there at the levels that we do. You know, I would love to see Black Friday mean something totally different than what it means now.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to see that because everybody's so used to doing the same thing, and now that it's normalized, everybody feels like they, you know, if you don't do it that way, then you're abnormal. And, you know, me personally, just seeing all this crazy shit that goes on, I feel like, I don't know, I just feel out of place here because I can't function with this shit the way it is. The depression that comes with it is overwhelming some days, you know? So.
Yeah, I agree with that. Sometimes, like you say, just the depression, and that's another whole subject, but definitely something I think that affects more of us than not. I mean, you just think that's like we can't depend on each other. But we can't depend on this system either. you know. So, I mean, it's kind of like one of those situations, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. I like to have a little more faith in my fellow man and my brother and sister, and thinking that, you know, we're concerned about this problem. But like you say, you know, not enough of us are concerned, and not enough of us are even willing to speak, you know, and having that voice is, to me, another one of those effortless things that we can do, you know, by just simply speaking up for what's right. But I think a lot of us wait for someone else to step up and be that voice, when that power is in all of us, and we all possess that power to speak. And it's, you know, you're right to speak. And we should all really want to be more vocal to try to better a situation that's going to hell in a handbasket right now. And we should all want to be more apt to see conditions change for the better as opposed to changing for the worse, because I know I'm not the only one with children and grandchildren, but, you know, just think about, I sometimes think about my grandparents and great-grandparents and how they might have looked at me and felt the same way that I feel right now, thinking, what's the world going to be like when they get my age, you know? Are we going to be any better off 30 years from now, 40 years from now, than we are right now collectively? Because it's going to take one of our generations to actually stand up and give a damn about the condition, and to actually give a damn about their children and their grandchildren, and so on and so on. And not only that, not being afraid to make the ultimate sacrifice. Man, and I've said this on several occasions. We do our ancestors a disservice by not being vocal, by not standing firm, by not being strong, by not being fearless. And we have more to fight with now than they ever had to fight with. Mm-hmm. Yet they were, you know, and yet they were more willing to fight than we are. That to me, we're doing all of those who came before us a disservice if you're not willing to make that ultimate sacrifice, so that those behind you can keep breathing. Even though it might not be freedom era yet, they may be the one generation that turns it into the kind of freedom that we've been crying for all these years. But we got to give them a chance too, just like those before us gave us a chance. And that was the thing with the ancestors. They understood and realized how much they needed each other, and they didn't do dumb shit that was going to hurt one another. You know, you said something a while ago just talking about segregation, and I'm really all for it now. I'm all for the new gentrification that movement that they've started. But we have got to take advantage of that too, you know, and we've got to be willing and able to buy land so that we can have something to pass down to the generations behind us. Because right now we have nothing, nothing that's beneficial that we can truly pass down that can be considered generational wealth. Not right. something that's just enough for me to get me through my life. We got to start. We can't become the selfish people that we despise. And see, when we figure it out, we can't be trying to shuck and jive and trick people, our own people, into these schemes and things. We've got to come with something solid. We've got to really come with something that we can start building a hard foundation on. And then we got to show our children how to solidify that foundation and make that foundation work, not just for them, not just for them at that moment in time, but for their kids, and then show their kids how to make it work for their kids, and so on and so on. And then with that, we are building power. We're building a nation within a nation. And not only that, we're being accountable for one another. We cannot be the selfish people that we despise and expect to flourish, to grow. We can't turn into what we don't like, and we can't turn into what's wrong. We've got to continue to try to shine a light in all this darkness. And it's all around us, and it's not about being accountable for their sake. It's about being accountable for our sake. And we, I guess, too, can start looking at things as opposed to looking at things that we're forced to do. Let's look at it as these are things that we just are going to do. Because the change has to start somewhere.
Yeah, I totally agree. But, you know, it seems like I said, I feel like we have our accountability is more important than their accountability right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, if they did decide we're going to give you guys some money, which would be 10% of the accountability that they have to take. True accountability would be re-education for all, truth in history, getting rid of a whole bunch of those politicians up there that looked like they were around back then, changing the money so that when Saddam Hussein got taken down, they took him off the money. Why are George Washington and all the rest of them still on the money here? Because it's a constant reminder of what they want us to see ourselves as, Americans, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I know what we are is totally lost and confused. We're not truly Americans. We're not truly any of that. We're more of a bunch of souls that wound up here due to colonization and slavery. We didn't try to come here, you know, and the thing is they damaged us so much here, going back and trying to fit in Africa is almost it's a pipe dream.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's a pipe dream. You know, so I do feel like we need to work on our accountability for us. And we still need to demand accountability from them. But until we fix ours, we really won't know what they're doing for us is going to be good for us or detrimental. We need to treat this just like the slaves had to treat the intestines of the pig. They had to clean the shit out of them intestines and find a way to eat it. And that's basically where we are. We won't know if they're handing us loin or whatever. We won't know because we ain't taking time to figure out what was done to us. I look at how they, with the Holocaust, never again. But yet, they never say that about slavery.
Yeah.
Never said it about slavery. I've never heard them say that can't happen here again.
Yep.
And they immediately, gave a reparation to those European Jews by letting them go and push the Palestinians down there into the ocean and take that land.
Yeah. Yep.
By some fake biblical birthright that they don't have.
Exactly. Exactly. And
what did the world do? Stand by and just watch it happen. Still watching it happen.
Yeah, watching.
And somehow, the Palestinians have been turned into the bad guys. That's like someone breaking into your house, calling the police, and they come arrest you for being there.
Yep. And then behind it all, the American assistance to the Israeli government, giving them money and weapons to oppress the people who have nothing anyway. And
exactly.
Israel is yet to just another extension, of America and what's wrong with this, not just this country, with several countries around the globe. And America has played such a big part in a lot of, circumstances, and not many of them are good circumstances, But America, too, has atoned for most of their mistakes, except for the most major mistake that they made in this country, which was slavery. But they never owned it, never said sorry for it, never atoned for it, never reparated for it. And still to this very day, like you made the point a while ago, they want us to just get over that. But remember 9/11, remember the damn Alamo, remember the Holocaust. Yeah, but you don't hear that same cry, remember slavery, and we never let that happen again, because if they could have their way, we'd be right back in chains tomorrow. And America would once again be under the facade of greatness, because that's all it's ever been.
I don't see the greatness at all. Personally, what I see is a criminal that was allowed to keep their ill-gotten gain and control those that they stole it from and tell them that they need to stop tripping on the past. That's kind of like your bully telling you, don't trip on the fact that I took your lunch money. We're cool now.
Mm-hmm.
And until that wrong gets righted, the coward is going to be okay with that type of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that exploits your weakness is not your friend. Any exploitation of you is not your friend. I can't, that Kool-Aid is poison, it's bitter. I can't drink it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, that's the crazy thing about it, just sitting there thinking, and I was like, we've been under this thumb for so long, I think we've gotten accustomed to it. You know, it's like we don't want the bad treatment, but we accept it anyway. You know what I mean? And that too, to me, is, you know, just that syndrome of doing the same thing over and over again and expecting the same a different outcome, which they call insanity. And I know that collectively we're not insane, but I think collectively a lot of us are still in slumber and really still, you know, kind of naive to the fact of how this system operates and what this system will do to always maintain its control. You know, we really underestimate this system and give this system the benefit of the doubt. And too many of us are still waiting for this change that will never happen until we make it happen, you know. And, you know, respect is never given. It's always earned. And we need to stop giving respect to people who don't deserve our respect and sure haven't earned it.
Exactly. I totally agree.
Yeah, accountability, that's really a big little word.
I just feel like we need to stop playing with ourselves because we've been being played with a long time. And the only ones who are going to change this at the end is going to be us. They're not going to do it on their own. And whatever we do, you know, in a war, just taking inches of ground makes a difference sometimes. And or we can just stand there and let them keep running us over and acting like it's okay and, you know, licking our wounds and telling our children, you know, oh, well, it'll get better, you know. Jesus will take care of it. Give it to God and all this other stuff. You better look at what God gave you. You know, whoever you call your God, he gave you, she gave you, it gave you something to work with. Mobility, brain power, rational thought, reasoning, hands to do things with, legs to get you there, and a brain to figure out how to make it all work. So what the hell are we truly waiting on?
No doubt. No doubt. Because I always say this, you know, we been praying for 400 years and things are still the same. So at this point and this juncture in the road, we should all have a new understanding of it's time to do things different, because what we've been doing hasn't, like you say, gotten us any ground. And if we can just take it an inch at a time, that's still progress. I agree with that because, yeah, some things are going to take longevity. And I prefer longevity because that means that it's going to be done the right way. You know, we can't get in a rush and expect an overnight fix for 400 years worth of anguish. You know,
that is true. Yeah, it's definitely true. Yeah, what I would like to see is just a 10% more effort on trying to find out who you are, 10% more effort to be humane, 10% more effort in wanting, you know, your children's, the future to be better for them rather than just, you know, hoping it'll be there and basically waiting for your chance to die out. Use that time to make sure that something is happening, to make sure that they at least are on the path to some freedom. Because y'all, me, you, none of us have been free. Our parents weren't, their parents weren't, and our children aren't. And, you know, while, yeah, we all have a short time on this planet, I would like for my granddaughters to have some freedom. I want them to know what it is, what it feels like. Mm-hmm. You know, self-autonomy is something that we all should know how it feels like. And part of the black experience ain't feeling that. We ain't felt that. Farrakhan has a lot of followers. He's not free. Hebrew Israelites standing out on the corner talking crazy, they're not free. And some of them do talk crazy.
Yeah.
But they're not free. You know? You're the drug dealers, the gangbangers, the people in prison, they're not free. You know, the people you work with and work for, they're not free either. So stop telling yourself that you're free to do shit. It's not even in the vocabulary. You can't be a victim even on fucking Halloween. Ain't that a shame?
Right. Yeah. It is. Truly is. I've got about 5 minutes left in the show. I'll take the time to thank you for calling in, brother, and helping me keep the dialogue going and dropping some jewels on the people. And thank the other callers that called in and listened on as well. Always feel free to join in the conversation as well. You can always press the 1 and join in the discussion. That's really what it's all about, just, you know, trying to provide a platform, trying to provide some outlets where we can really get together and, you know, brainstorm on some of these problems. And not only that, bring ourselves together and start to create the proper flow. We all know what we need, and I'm not even going to say what we want, because the things that we want are not always the things that we need. And we really should be focused on what's needed right now. We need land. We need schools. We need farmers. We need, we need a lot, you know. And what's even more ironic, everything that we need, we have. And we're just not using it to our advantage. And that's part of being accountable too, because I've said this more than once, not that we don't deserve reparations, because we do, but it comes a point in time where we have to stop begging for them and take accountability for ourselves, and then we can pull our own selves out of this hole, and we can start reparating each other, and then we can start reparating our children, and we can reparate our grandchildren by simply giving them knowledge, intellect, and the spirit to fight. And not only that, giving them the spirit of accountability, where they are busy correcting each other as opposed to trying to correct everything around them. And as long as they stay busy correcting one another and holding one another accountable, that's done out of love. And see, when you can get that kind of love and that kind of accountability collectively, going to the top is nothing more than taking the next step. And that's where we've got to get. We've got to not be fearful to take that next step and hold each and every one of the people who are around you and that you love accountable and make them hold you accountable as well. And when we can get to that point, we can truly change the condition. That's really what it's all about, because like I always say, we need each other. We ain't never needed nobody else. We all we got. And we're all we need. And we need to understand that. And with that being said, I want to thank my brother Kevin for helping me keep the dialogue going. Once again, thank all my other callers that called in and listened. Thank my overseas listeners. Thank my listeners on activatemedia.org who will get this broadcast on tomorrow night. I appreciate y'all. Y'all the reason I do it. I don't do it for money, fame, none of that. I do it because we need each other, and I'm trying to be a part of this change, and it's time to change the condition. With that being said, like I always say in closing, let's plan, organize, and unify, because we all have a key. Till next week, this has been the Panther Party Radio Network. This has been The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. I'm out. Peace, power, and love.
Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be. No. Oil wasted on the ocean and upon our sea. Fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me, Jesus. Ah, things ain't what they used to be. No, no. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are dying. Oh, mercy, mercy me, ah, things ain't what they to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from man? Can't you stand it?